It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Acts. We're starting a new study in the book of Acts. And so we'll begin reading the first few verses of Scripture. The book of Acts, starting with chapter 1, verse 1. So while you're looking that up and opening your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, phone number is 217-440-4402. If you would like to send us an email, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And I'd love for you to check out our website. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies there. Plan of salvation is clearly stated there, and also our constitution, so you can enjoy many things there. So please, that you would take a look at that, parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Again, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made with O Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For truly John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptizing with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for me to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. We're going to end the reading with the 9th verse there. That's just kind of a beginning for us today, because we're going to have kind of an introduction to the book of Acts. And so let's begin with prayer, as we always do. Father, please guide and lead us today. It is so important that we have your leadership, that your Spirit speaks to our hearts. It is the only way that salvation can come. It is the difference between heaven and hell. If, Father, we do not and are not convicted of our sin, and if we do not accept that fact that we're a sinner and we're lost and condemned, and at that point then, Father, your sweet Spirit will also introduce us to your Son, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross to save us, and we just need to accept him as our Savior, as our Redeemer. So please, Lord, today, that that be the case, that there wouldn't be anyone that's listening today that will not accept you as their Savior as we enjoy this study of this precious book, the book of Acts. Father, guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this book, the books of the apostles, as probably your Bible has it titled at the beginning, Luke was given the opportunity to record the book for our Lord Jesus. He, you know, recorded the book of Luke in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He recorded that, and he is also responsible for this precious book. It has been said that it would be better titled if it would be stated the acts of the risen, glorified Christ Jesus our Lord. What a precious title that would be. The book of Acts records the doings of the apostles as they were moved and directed by the Holy Spirit. It contains the record of mainly just two men. It does have many involved, but mostly it's just Peter and Paul. We're going to enjoy that study today and for many days to come. Peter was commissioned by Christ to use the keys of the kingdom to first open up the door to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, then to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius. And so we enjoy watching Peter as he brings this precious news of the gospel to all that will hear and all that will listen. The book of Luke, back in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Luke, by inspiration, records the life of Christ in the flesh as he lived and had his ministry here upon earth. The book of Acts, also by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records the life of Christ in the Spirit. Because we're going to read many verses of Scripture concerning the Comforter as he has come. The book of Acts is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. It seems to take up the place in history of the ministry of Christ right where the book of Luke left off. And so the book of Acts is picking up where the book of Luke ended. And I don't have any question that Luke is the author here. The key verse in the book of Acts we have just read, and it's in the 8th verse, chapter 1 of the book of Acts. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. We can kind of proclaim that that is the key verse of the book of Acts. It seems that Luke recorded this somewhere between 65 and 70 A.D., is when it was recorded, but of course it picks up right at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that's where we're going to begin. But again, it would seem that somewhere that is when God chose for Luke to sit down and to record this, and it would seem also that possibly Luke was in Rome when he is writing this. And so we do enjoy many verses of Scripture concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so let's go back to the Gospel of John. It's very close here to the Acts. And so let's go back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and begin to read with verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. Here is the Lord Jesus speaking and telling of his to his disciples what's to come. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, other than himself, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now what a joy it is to know that if we will trust in the Lord Jesus, there is no one, when it says here that because it seeth him not, the reason that the world cannot receive him and enjoy him is because they have rejected him. I hope that you're not one of them that has rejected the Holy Spirit. I hope that you have trusted in the Holy Spirit, and I have in the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit. I hope that you have listened as He calls you. As you're hearing the Word of God now, please surrender to Him. Accept Him as your Savior, the Lord Jesus, and He will come in to live within your heart, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you will have great joy and power and wisdom as you surrender to the Holy Spirit and walk with Him each and every day. And so please that you trust in this precious Spirit, the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke of. Do not reject when He comes. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, if you've never trusted in Him, if you've never trusted in Jesus, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to convict your heart. He's going to show you that you're a sinner and you're lost and you're condemned. That's what He's going to show you. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, I didn't either, but I accepted it. And when I accepted that I was a lost sinner and said, Jesus, please, will you save me? He did. And that's, my friend, what you need to do, please. Let's go to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. A couple of verses there, verses 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And so when we look at that verse of Scripture, and when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. You see, the Lord Jesus had to ascend back home, and then He sent the precious Spirit, even the Spirit of truth. And so if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you have rejected the Holy Spirit when He called on you and showed you that you're a sinner, lost, condemned, when you see that, when you have that, then please realize and please recognize that you need to accept that fact that you're lost, that you're a sinner, that you're condemned. You're going to go to hell if you don't trust in Jesus. It's the only choice. But when you say yes to the Holy Spirit, that yes, I'm a worthless sinner, and yes, I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus, when that day comes, when that day comes, then for the first time, you will acknowledge and enjoy the Spirit of truth. And that's the first time that you'll be able to understand the Word of God. So please, please, you can read it. You can spend time in it. But you will not have an understanding of it unless you trust in Jesus. So please, please, trust in Jesus. Let's go to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. So much here in the Gospel of John concerning the coming of this Comforter. John 16, verses 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. What an opportunity we have to enjoy. We have one more here, and it's back in the Gospel of Luke, as we finish out the book of Luke. And as we have said, the book of Acts is a continuation of the book of Luke. And so as we go to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high, the Holy Spirit, the precious, precious Holy Spirit. What a joy to study the precious Scripture. And we find that the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they record the life, the ministry, the beautiful miracles, the teaching. It tells us so clearly of his brutal death, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, his burial, and then his resurrection. And so we find that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But that's just the beginning. And if we go back once again to John chapter 14, verse 12, John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What a promise. Let's just back up here and read a little bit more. Let's start in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? Believest not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me that for the very work's sake. And then verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. What a promise. And then verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, ye shall do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What a wonderful scripture verse to read. So we find there in verse 12 of John chapter 14, verse 12, it's because I go to the Father, there is going to be greater works that you will do than was done. What a tremendous promise that we have there. What a joy to look to the Word of God. So you see, Acts records the work of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He brings sinners under conviction and draws them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say brings them under conviction, it shows them who they are. It shows them that they're a sinner and they're lost. Shows them that they need salvation. That's what the book of Acts is going to show to us. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to study this precious, precious book, the book of Acts. We begin the book of Acts, but one of the first things that comes in the book is the precious message that Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. And so the Pentecost is actually we would call the birthday of the New Testament church. The great messages in Acts was preached to every class of people. You see, prior to this, it was focused on the Jews. A Gentile could be saved, but it was focused upon the Jews, the Israel. And they were to learn the Word of God and then to take it out to the Gentiles. That was their responsibility. They were to be the evangelists. They were to be the preachers. They were the ones that were chosen to take the word of God out to a lost and dying world. But instead of that, they kind of just held on to it themselves and kind of brought it into something that they felt was only theirs and no one others, and no others could have it except for a Jew, an Israelite. Now, you could be a Gentile and you could come into the Jewish religion, but you had to abide by all the rules and the regulations and everything that they had established, which is way beyond what God originally intended. What God wanted them to do was to take those offerings and those sacrifices they were to bring, but to understand that that was one thing. It was a picture of what was to come. And what was to come was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what it was all about. The tabernacle, everything, all those things was all made to be a picture of what was to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were to take that picture, that promise, out to a lost and dying world, which was not only the Jews themselves, but also to the Gentiles. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And so here we find, again, the birth of the church, because God is taking the power that he had given to Israel and set them aside and has now given us, the church, the opportunity. And so we find here in the book of Acts that not only is it the birth of the church, but the message now is spreading beyond. It is to whosoever will. So you see, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whatever you are, whatever color you are, it doesn't matter. Because we are all one in Christ if you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts, we find the organization of the New Testament church. God puts that into place for us. We realize and recognize the birth of the New Testament church was much simpler than it is today. Today, we have made it kind of a glorious thing, kind of a, come because we want to entertain you. And that shouldn't be. There is one purpose of the New Testament church, and that is to proclaim the Word of God and then witness the Holy Spirit as He comes and delivers that word down into your very heart, convicts you, and brings you to salvation, then brings you into the family of God, into the church, to grow. Not to be entertained. We have wonderful fellowship. It's a joy to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a joy to come together with all that know you as that know our Savior is the Lord Jesus. Because then we're one, we're common. We all have the Holy Spirit. Now, that's up to the individual to be born again. But when they come, we have very little. We don't have the fancy organ, or we don't have all the instruments. We don't have those things. We come together, and we sing those beautiful old hymns. It's got the powerful message to it, to where your heart is touched, and the word is proclaimed. That's what we do. We're very simple. And that's the way the church started. It didn't start with different things and activities that people need. Today, why you need a team to do this and a team to do that and a group to do this and everything. God intended us to take the Word of God out with the power of the Holy Spirit to convict the heart. And when you do that, you do not need all these extras. But people like the extras. They like their ears tickled. They like to be entertained. And so that's the reason you find many times that the very large churches are getting larger, and there's the churches that preach the truth, the gospel, that they're not growing. Well, why aren't they growing? Because people in the flesh prefer not to be convicted of their sin. And so if they're not convicted of their sin, that means the Holy Spirit is not present. So you see, it's very important that we do take a look at how the church began. It began in homes. They gathered together in a home. And they come. We've learned that in the study of Titus as we have been enjoying a study there. We love the Word of God. We love studying the Word of God. And it tells us that in the first chapter of Titus, verse 11, it says that the mouths need to be stopped. And this was mostly the Jews were trying to force their doctrines upon the new believers. And there were many cults and stuff, and this is going on in Crete, is where Titus was at and or was going, and so he needed to be there. It's very clear there what his purpose was, and that he was to look for people that taught the Word of God, and it says that they should be lovers of hospitality, lovers of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word that he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, those that desired to change the Word of God, whose mouths must be stopped, the 11th verse says, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. That's what we find back in the book of Titus, as Paul is instructing him to begin the churches. Be careful. And so we need to have those that proclaim the Word of God, that stand upon the Word of God. And so, as we find here that the membership of the New Testament church is made up of those that have yielded their hearts to Jesus, have surrendered to the Holy Spirit. That's the New Testament church. That's not the organized church that you see today. And they all went out to preach the true Word of God. What a wonderful work. What a wonderful promise. That's the book of Acts. That's the book of Acts. Now, we're going to start here, and I knew that the introduction would take most of the time up for you to kind of understand. But we go here, and the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, the word Theophilus means a friend of God. You know, Luke started the book of Luke in the same manner. He addressed to Theophilus, but the message is to all believers in the New Testament church, not just to Theophilus himself. We know very little about Theophilus, but what we do know is he was a very successful man. He lived in Antioch. He lived in a beautiful palace. But the great thing about Theophilus is he dedicated that home to the purpose and the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel gives the foundation, and now we are to build upon it. So the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was the foundation. And now that foundation has been placed, foundation has been planted. Now it's time that we build upon it, and we can build upon it because we have the Holy Spirit. We enjoy the precious Holy Spirit. Luke has a little bit more to say about the ascension. We'll deal with that next time. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?